Hey, dear friends, this is Rust Is Dar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Listen, we're gonna just delve into four times this week a subject that I wonder whether it's going to cause trouble. I anticipate that because when we've ever spoken about it before, we have engaged a lot of heat over the issue. But I think that it's absolutely necessary because I want to say even now, I want to ask the question even now, is there still freedom of speech in the United States of America? I don't know how it is in all the other countries of the world. I know that in Canada there's a little more restrictions on what can be said, but or on certain things that can be said. I think that really the idea of legislating talk show hosts and others deals with a selective shutdown of opinion. And so the question I'm going to have during the next 4 days with this topic is whether or not we truly have freedom of speech and whether there's really going to be intelligent discussion over the area of the homosexual agenda. What's happening right now with gays and lesbians in the United States, it's a physical issue, it's a political issue, it's a economic issue, it's an educational issue. It deals with the imago Dei, the image of God in man. It deals with biology and changing the face of humanity, changing the face of spirituality, changing the face of education. Even in the United States of America. Well, changing the face of the family. And so, listen, tonight in this 1 hour, well, supernatural engagement. In 1 hour, a providential and supernatural engagement for the many, many thousands and thousands of you all over that are listening right now. We have to be able to bring the discussion up on the table and at least talk about these things, discuss these things, because it involves such an alteration. And we need to be able to, well, there's a number of reasons, depending on how we want our children educated, depending upon whether the United States of America will deal with what is a family, whether we're going to deal with the issue of can an individual who was once gay or lesbian, can they change? Can they choose to change and get out and be able to stand up and give a testimony of why they got out and why they want to stay out? So let me tell you something. It has a lot to do with freedom of speech and all these other areas that I'm talking about. Listen, if you are brand new tonight, this is Rust Is Dar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. And on that website, ShatterTheDarkness.net website, we have on the very beginning now, we're going to break down Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, the 4 nights that we have here. And we're going to give the topic for the week and then also kind of the title for each night. Tonight's title is The Homosexual Agenda / Altering Biology and the Image of Humanity. On Tuesday night at 7 p.m., Homosexual Agenda, Altering Spirituality and Changing God. Wednesday would be Homosexual Agenda, Genetics and Those Who Choose to Leave It. And then on Friday at 6 p.m., Homosexual Agenda, Propensity and Altering Your Child's View. Now, listen, these will also be archived, and I have no doubt are going to be sent around to folks, which is absolutely fine. And again, I would say by divine providence, if your background is gay and lesbian, then my request is that you would listen to all of the questions, especially this first night. We're going to put a lot of questions out. And I'm going to assume that I have a right to hold to opinions. I'm going to assume that I have a right to speak freely and that in America that we have a right to ask the questions and engage and look at some logical conclusions to some of the statements within the homosexual agenda. One of the reasons for this is the engagement the president had over the weekend with the gay lesbian, you know, march in Washington, and well, with the lobbying and all of the you know, pressuring of the military to change its policy. But let me tell you something, we all know, or at least we should, it's not just changing policy in military. It's changing policy everywhere, and ultimately, and I'm going to ask the question of gays and lesbians, of every single thing when it comes to this issue. Now, you can write to me, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, while we're live, and we'll try to get answers to you. sbcglobal.net. And I'm sorry, that would be shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And you can send in a note. And listen, while many of you are going to sit back and listen, and you wonder, is this a spiritual warfare issue? Is this a crisis global issue? Is this having anything to do with Luciferianism? Well, listen, it really does as a whole, because there is prophetic revelation that speaks about in the end of days that sexual addiction is going to be a major, major issue. It really is. So whether, you know, we want to take a look at that or not, we're going to need to see whether or not, and I don't know if I just got cut off the air here or not, 8 minutes into things. Maybe if you're out there and you're listening, my phone is beeping and coming off line here, it looks like. So we will see what's going on. In the archives, we're still live, and we will have this up for later. So if you ever do miss a show, or if it gets cut out like a week ago when all of the systems out there shut down, I'm talking about the computers and all that they had, and I didn't even know it. So we're going to assume that we're live right now in the air, and we're going to continue. And there are those out there that can send me a quick email, let me know, and that we're still broadcasting. But let me give a couple of the announcements first. Let me go into some of the other things that we need to tell you about, and then we will get into the discussion tonight and the direct engagement of this subject. Now, again, are we free to talk about this publicly? Are we free to rationally discuss the issues that are encircling this one area? And I'm going to tell you that there's reasons why we need to, so we can think through. And we don't need to see America, the overwhelming majority of America, you know, kind of bashed into a corner of fear that they're not allowed to say anything about this subject. You know, if there's going to be freedom of speech for those in the homosexual community to declare what they believe, what they want, excuse me, and there's got to be freedom everywhere, all around. So that's included. So if you want to share your views and so forth, and that's being done everywhere, we need to also know that other views can be shared still here in the United States. So let's take a look at a couple of the other things that we need to, you know, engage tonight. Concerning, well, number one, the conference in Mansfield, more and more people are writing about it. And that is on October 23rd, 24th, 25th. It is called Demolishing Strongholds. It is Mansfield, Ohio. If you go again to shatterthedarkness.net and look in the upper right-hand corner, you'll find a little notation about the conference. Click on there. There's a web page. Tells you where it's going to be, the exact times. It gives you a basic outline. There's going to be Ben Moody is going to be there on the presentation on revivals and their impact on society. I'll be doing an introduction to spiritual warfare, dealing with awareness, authority, armor, alert, and action. On Saturday morning, Tom Dunn will be speaking on spiritual warfare. And then I will also then be speaking on spiritual ramping up, demonic manifestation, prophetic revelation, and the sequence of satanic evolution. We're going to talk about demolishing strongholds in our lives. And then Saturday afternoon, we're going to do questions and answers. We're going to, you know, answer questions about the book, The Black Awakening, and all that it talks about. We're going to talk about cult and satanic ritual warfare, prayer mapping, and confronting radical evil. The last part of that session will deal with spiritual discernment, deliverance procedures, and the power of God in evangelism. Now, I'll be also speaking at the same building Sunday morning. They're holding this conference in a they've borrowed a local church down there. So all the information is there if you want to get a hold of that and take a look and see what's there. So if we are still live, let me again ask, because I haven't seen even one notation yet. We had gotten cut off a week ago about, and I appreciate that. We've got a note here that we're still on. Everything's fine. It's just on my headset here. We had heard three or four beeps and a shutoff similar to last week. So we want to be able to have the freedom to speak and share on this topic. Now, we're also going to tell you that on the ShatterTheDarkness.net website on the left side is 31 Days Ablaze, a little 15-minute, 10-minute, 20-minute devotional per day. And it's all about how there can be change in a life. We've been talking about coming near to God with our pain, with our fears, with our failures, with sin issues, with, you know, all these other things that listen, that God can bring change into life. That's what God's all about, coming in and bringing change out of darkness into the light. And that's what it's all about. Listen, if you are brand new listening, and you've come and maybe you feel by accident you're now listening, or just by happenstance you're listening, I want you to know that I again believe that this hour is very supernatural and providential, and may be by God's divine appointment that you're here. So we pray that you'll stick around with us and listen on. I want to tell you a story of something that occurred, and then we'll get into the body of the topic tonight for at least, anyway, four nights this week because of what just occurred over the weekend. Again, I think most Americans are just busy and we're doing so many things. We don't know the forces that are seeking to alter, absolutely alter, not only the United States, but much more than that. That's why we're dealing with the subjects. Listen, altering biology and the image of humanity. Altering spirituality and changing God. Genetics and those who choose to leave it. And then propensity in altering your child's view. So tonight is Monday night, the 12th. And we're going to delve with the first one. And it deals with, again, the concept of biology, the physiology of humankind, a male and a female. Is there still a distinction? Male and female can think and work and do things and be scientists and, you know, accomplish many things in life. But it's very, very clear that a man, a real man, with his biological and physical parts, cannot carry a child, be pregnant, and birth a child. A woman can. And we also know that outside of, you know, God, that women don't just get pregnant. Men don't. Listen, it takes two. And the normal biological and the physiological makeup of the construct of a woman, the construct of a man, I mean, biology tells you that the parts fit and that procreation can occur. And one would ask, you know, again, I would have to ask the question that, if a man sexually desires another man, does that bring an altering to biology, the physiological makeup of men? Is it really normal? Or is, again, that's going to be the buzzword, you know, because biologically, physiologically, we know that it's not a normal fit. The parts don't really fit, if I can say it that way. Now, before I go into all of it and bring out some of the questions, and again, want to let you know that you can, and I appreciate a dear friend writing and letting us know that we're live still. And if you want to bring in questions, that's okay. You know, we're not going to speak this out in anger. We're not going to speak this out in, but we need to speak it out as communication, rational communication, and I would say even with an urgency because of the overwhelming majority of history of Americans in the countries that you're from may not, you may tolerate, you may now have laws that make you accept homosexuality. You may have had a lot of those changes occur in your country, but in your personal life, overwhelmingly, the majority of people are not gay or lesbian. And we need to go over some of the reasons why that is true and have the freedom to be able to say we agree or disagree. Now, there's going to be people that disagree with me. There's going to be people that disagree with even discussing the subject. But I, you know, listen, no, we live in a free world, at least I believe so here in the United States, and we need to be able to speak. So I engaged this issue years and years and years ago because I had a young man that had come to Christ, and he was beginning to grow in the Lord, but his mother was a lesbian, but she had become a lesbian and then a pastor of a local church called the Gay Lesbian Metropolitan Church in the area. Now, it was one thing for him to disagree with her. It was one thing for him to say to his mother, listen, this is... Because his mother, once married to his dad, decided at some point that she was lesbian, left the dad and the kids, and went off with a woman, then another woman, then another woman, and but also became religious or spiritual in the midst of all of it, and became a pastor. So this young man, of course, comes to me to talk to me about it, and we're discussing things, and, you know, his issue was that he's pretty bugged about it. He doesn't agree. He loves his mom, but he doesn't agree. He really cares about his mom and wants a relationship with his mom, but he doesn't agree. The physiological, the biological issue is there, and now for him, the spiritual issue, what does the Bible say? What does God say? Because he was being told that God's okay with it, that God made her this way, that the scriptures don't teach against it. Now, obviously, that brought in a lot of discussion, a lot of discussion. And so what happened was, at the University of Akron here in the greater Akron area of Ohio, they had a gay lesbian task force, and they were going to have a great big meeting. And they had the speaker was going to be this lady that had become a pastor. And then another man who used to be a pastor, I believe, of a Nazarene church. Could have been a Church of God, but I remember hearing his testimony. But it was of a mainline, you know, denominational type church. And he also said that along the way, God showed him that he was homosexual. And that he left his wife and left his kids and went off with a man, and then another man, and then another man. But he was going to be there speaking too, so I was asked to show up. So I went to the meeting with this young guy. And I'm sitting there with probably 125 other people. The Book Delight news people were there from the University of Akron. And I was sitting at the same table with them and with this young man. And we were listening to where, you know, of course, about just everybody else was gay and lesbian. And we listened to the first lady speak. And then we listened to the man speak, okay? Now, this is when I'm a pastor of a local church. And I am directing a large citywide youth ministry that reaches out to young people for Christ. And so we're sitting in the meeting, and I begin to listen to this man tell a story, how he was married, he had kids, and, you know, he had a family, and that he was pastor of a church, and that he had these feelings, couldn't get rid of these feelings, and finally begin to give in to them, and cross over into actually having sexual relationships with some guys, and eventually had to come out and tell his church and tell his family. Well, of course, you know, he chose, he said so, to leave the family. Of course, it brought in all kinds of disruption and all kinds of things that need to be dealt with. Now, the question is, you know, in this process, he's standing there telling all the people, you know, that he came out and what it was to come out and, you know, that he has a particular lover right now. And then he began to share Bible verses that he was saying supported homosexuality. Then he began to talk about Jonathan and David in the Old Testament, where the Bible says that, you know, David loved Jonathan more than a love for a woman. The idea that he had a great love for his friend. There's no question about it. Men know this. They can love one another, pat each other on the back, care about each other. I have all kinds of men that I care about and love. But there's not the slightest sliver of a sexual innuendo there. So when I listened to him talk about Jonathan and David being gay, which they were not, then he went from there to Jesus. And now we have a man that's standing there telling all these individuals, some of them that are struggling with whether they are gay or lesbian, some that are full-blown, strong, you know, living a life. And then there's activists there, like the one fellow there, and I'll only give a first name, Michael. Michael was bold and brash and strong and stood up and said that he had been to the Vatican. He'd been to the Vatican and read manuscripts, and that the real manuscripts proved that homosexuality was right. So I listened to all this stuff go on for about an hour, and then they opened it up for questions. Anybody could ask questions. Anybody can bring comments. Well, the young man stood up. The young man stood up quickly and said, I don't know about everybody else here, but I don't agree with homosexuality and lesbianism. And he said a few more things, and he pointed to the woman who was, you know, declared herself to be a pastor. She was a lesbian. That was his mother, and he pointed and said, "That's my mother," and that he disagrees with her. So that kind of all of a sudden, you can feel it in the air. Tension came. The newspaper people looked at me, and the one girl asked me, you know, "Why are you here?" And I said, well, I was invited to come to listen to what this is all about. And I'm kind of shocked, really, about what they're saying behind closed doors. So I did stand up, and I was allowed to ask questions, and I did. And I was someone who stood up and said, listen, you got to hear the other side of the story here. And I went on to talk about Jonathan and David not being homosexual, about the kind of love that can be there that is not sexually oriented. And clearly declare that Jesus Christ was not, and that to rip them all out of the pages of scriptures and change all of that, you know, incredibly wrong, but this is where we're going to deal with on one of the other nights, the concept of trying to change the face of God, trying to change the nature of God in order to fit this agenda. Because literally, you're going to have to do that. Now, we'll talk about that on Tuesday night. Tonight's about the biology. And I brought that up at the meeting. The concept of a man with another man on a sexual basis, where the parts don't really fit, the parts aren't really meant for each other, and biologically, physiologically, and in the concept of procreation, none of it works. And so I brought up the questions of, what about the biology of it? What about the physical physical side of all of this? You know, well, the answers are things like this, but it feels good, but I want to do it, but you can make it work, and things like that. If a man wants to marry a man and be in a sexual relationship, they can go get a child from somebody else and then raise that child. And then all of these, again, this discussion gets broader and deeper and wider, because the reason is, for example, a man says he loves a man sexually, wants to be, that's going to be his lover, and they're going to get married and be a family, and then they're going to go out and get somebody else's child, and then they're going to raise that child. Question is, does that child really want to be raised that way? The thought behind the gay and lesbian community is, well, then that child could be educated in the beginning not to hate. Now, Gays and lesbians have to deal with the fact that they constantly are telling everybody else that disagrees with them that they're haters. In my experience, it's absolutely the opposite. That I have seen enormous hate speech. I have seen gays and lesbians take, every field, biology, spirituality, education, economics, politics, all of it. And again, with no problem wanting all of everything to be altered to fit their particular lifestyle. Here's what most homosexual and lesbians don't understand, and probably many Americans, I don't know, that homosexuality, lesbianism, is a sexocentric issue. There really is no homosexuality without it. That it is a sexual issue. It's not race, black and white, red and white, you know, black and brown. It's not race. It's not a nationality. That's where we're going to get into the third night on Wednesday night, genetics. Someone emailed me or put in the chat room of our live show on Sunday night that it's a genetic thing. And, we're going to talk about the overwhelming reality is it is not a genetic thing. Is there genetic predisposition to be gay? And if there is, well, then the argument is we're born this way and you cannot change. Now, that's part of my issue tonight on the biological issue and changing the image of humanity. On this alone, we need to really think through this. Because if gays and lesbians, and I'm willing to listen to what they have to say. But I would ask that they listen to what the overwhelming majority have to say. I would not bring this up at all. I would not spend four nights discussing this, archiving it, putting it out there, knowing that I'm going to get hit up about it as I have in the past. If it was just individuals that want to choose their own sexual behind the scenes, you know, what you're doing in your own bedroom, what you're doing in your own, with your own life, that's one thing. I have no interest at all in going around checking on people on what their sexual, life is all about. The issue now is demanding change in the military, demanding change in politics, demanding funding, demanding education. What is now some are calling the queering of education. We'll talk about that tomorrow too. And the new educational, safety education man that Barack Obama has put out there as a czar. In my view, America, massively dangerous in all of his associations and what agenda he'll push. So the question would be, as we get to it this week, if we move from the biology issue into the agenda, do you want 4th, 5th, and 6th graders to be taught in the schools? And will non-homosexual and lesbian teachers have to teach curriculum that tells children that a man being with a man sexually and being married to a man is absolutely okay and you must accept it and only haters disagree? And I'm going to say, if that's going to be the agenda, if that's going to come out and, to be thrust into the school, into all these areas of life, and that it's going to be a issue of lobbying and, a political thing and turning into laws and so forth, then I would say to all of America and to other nations, individuals, you better stand up and fight the issue now. Because when we discuss the concept of propensity that I don't think that gays and lesbians understand, the concept of propensity, which we'll get into, we're going to see an altering all the way around. It's going to be a larger and broader battle. And, we're going to see, whether or not gays and lesbians, and here's something you're going to have to deal with. Are you aiding and abetting unwilling change in choices? not only in other people, but also in children. And we need to, and again, I'm saying, let's have this as an open discussion and go through it. But I know that some are going to get angry concerning it. Because what happened at the University of Akron was pretty massive. It was pretty massive in this sense, that when I got up to share politely that, you know, Jonathan and David were not homosexual, that Jesus Christ obviously was not. He had no sexual relationships whatsoever. And as I shared the other side of the story, and that God can bring change to anybody's life, anybody that doesn't want to be homosexual has a right to choose to leave, to get out. Wow. Let me tell you what occurred then. And even though I shared it in a very plain and calm manner, I had individuals get up and yell at me. I had the gay lesbian task force leader get up, point his finger, and yell at me. I had people throw condoms at me. And we needed eventually to leave. Now, I was invited to come back again to listen and interact a little bit. And as I did the second time, I was not allowed to speak. And we left early. And we did not go back. We were invited to come a third time. We did not go back to the third meeting. Now, this is the University of Akron, where they had massive banners. This is a few years back, where they had banners everywhere. And again, where I was invited and drawn in by a student first. Well, I decided not to go to the third meeting. And I'm going to tell you again what occurred. You know, I go on with what I do in life, pastoring churches, working with young people, and doing all that we do. And about a year later, I get a phone call from this man named Michael, who was the gay lesbian task force leader. He asked if I would meet with him publicly. And I said, sure, you know. So we picked the restaurant back then, Jack Horner's, on Market Street. And we, you know, I told him I'd meet him there. And I came in and Michael was there and I sat down. He sat across from me. There's a lot of people all around. And I was assuming that he was there to kind of bash me or say, you know, hey, we really hated that you came here, you know, and like he did before. And that I was going to be engaged in a big discussion and you know, controversy with him or whatever. But because of my spiritual background, because of where I stood and knowing that God loves and God has mercy and for all have sinned and fallen short and that God can change anybody's heart that's willing to come to Him and so forth. Well, you know, again, I've heard from them, we don't want to change, you know, and all this, you know, screaming and vulgar language and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So anyway, I sit down with Michael. And Michael says, listen, I called you here today because I remembered what we did, you know, back when you came and visited our meeting. He said, I want you to know that I've gotten out of the gay and lesbian, the homosexual agenda. That I left it, and that I now work for Habitat for Humanity, and I'm trying to get my life straightened out. And I stood there kind of astounded. And I asked him, why did he get out? He says, because it became the more, he said he went to Florida, he got deeper into all the whole movement, and there was more violence and more sexual addiction, all kinds of things were going on, and he couldn't take it any longer. And so he chose to get out. And then he told me, this man Michael told me, he said, Russ, when you came to those meetings we had, and even though there was an open time for discussion and questions and opinions, the guys got together after that second time, and we decided that if you came back the third time, we were going to get you, we were going to rape you, and we were going to show you what this lifestyle was all about. You know what? I stand in the presence of God, and I'm telling you the truth. Michael sat across from me. The once leader of the gay lesbian task force there, again, years back at the University of Akron. And he shared how they were going to, you know, try to do this and whatever else. And in my case, they would have had to, you know, they would have had to basically kill me or fight me or do whatever. They would have had to really harm me to get a hold of me. But I was astounded. I was astounded because of the propensity. The propensity in that addictive nature. And we're gonna, you know, really discuss the issue of propensity on Friday, because in the homosexual, you know, community, the gay, lesbian, the sexual drive and the conscience that seeks to legitimize it, there is a propensity on the one hand to force everyone into saying that it's okay because it has something to do with conscience. On the other hand, one of the ways to force everybody to accept it or whatever else is to get people to participate. And though gays and lesbians will not like, and some will not like, bringing in the discussion of Sodom and Gomorrah, you got to understand that it can go that far. Now you say, well, how can that be, and why are you going to bring that up as a discussion? And, you know, many so-called, you know, many homosexuals and gays and lesbians that are called moral religious individuals, quote, that they want to make things more, you know, acceptable and look more conservative and so forth and so forth. But the issue is this. Since it is a sexually centered relationship, in other words, the whole issue is a drivenness on this relational, you know, on a relational basis, regardless of the biology, regardless of the physiology, regardless of procreation, regardless of just simply looking at a man and a woman at the biological, physiological parts and saying, you know what, the parts are different. And actually, the woman and the man, the physical parts, biologically and physically go together, and overwhelmingly the majority of the world and overwhelmingly the majority of America, that's how it is. The overwhelming majority, you know, of men, you know, have desire sexually for a woman, and women have desire sexually for a man. That's the overwhelming issue. Now, in America, I don't know how it is in your country, wherever you're listening from, but in America, there's a minority, a small minority in the gay, lesbian, you know, agenda that has learned how to move in the political realm, lobbying, and notice what is occurring. The going of state to state to state to state to seek, you know, by law, legitimizing homosexual marriage. So in the last election, when California overwhelmingly voted no, we have the issue now that the courts in San Francisco, which is, again, on the basis of those who have learned to lobby and get involved in politics and get into government and then to press their agenda from that seat of authority. That's happened in the Episcopal Church. One would wonder how that could, but it has. And so we have to take a look at all these factors. Because on the one far side, I've heard people just scream against homosexuality, you know, saying you're all going to hell and you're all sodomite, you know, and all these kind of things are used. And I wonder why any Christian would do that, because we understand the cross of Christ was, you know, Christ is the sin bearer of the world. And the power of the gospel to change lives is incredible. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is, and most people don't know this, and most in the homosexual agenda don't want this bigger, broader secret to come out. As a matter of fact, you're going to see an enormous level of vehement hatred and slander and malice flow from the homosexual community, the activist community, when a former gay or lesbian, somebody who'd been there 10, 20, maybe 30 years, and they turned to Christ, they completely left the homosexual or lesbian lifestyle, and they engaged heterosexual lifestyle. They ended up getting married, and they ended up having kids. Now, I'm telling you this because in the last church that I pastored, there was two families I could look out there, and there's a lady, used to be a lesbian, married with kids. She was more than willing to come forward and talk to people and counsel people and tell them why she left being a lesbian and why she became heterosexual and got married and had children. And there was another man there that also had left being homosexual, married, and had children on the way. So the big secret across the nation, you know, the United States anyway, is literally that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of ex-homosexuals and ex-lesbians who have left that lifestyle permanently. Now, quickly, just a quick note here. Because we've been through the discussions. There's been those who've discussed with me. You got to understand, I've been a pastor and a counselor for over 30 years. You got to understand that I've had many that have had many kinds of sexual issues come to me to tell about how they got into things. This includes gays and lesbians and their getting out of it. And their desire to be completely free of it. And their stories about how they got into it. So again, firsthand, over and over and over again, I've heard the stories and seen the lives. And I've watched it go the other way. I've watched individuals that have boldly come out, become gay or lesbian, and declare that lifestyle and be vehement about it and walk away, you know, from others. And, you know, they don't care what anybody's going to say. So on the third night, on Wednesday night, the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about is there, you know, a homosexual gene or a gay or lesbian gene? Is it in the genetics? Or are the genetics affected by choice and by a pattern? We're going to talk about the pattern. We talked about last week, for those who did listen, if you didn't, it's up on the archives, the sin code, this propensity, it's kind of like a genetic predisposition to be against God, to oust God, to push God away, that dwells in fallen humanity. That is there as part of the fall. Now, listen, when I have engaged homosexual agenda, you know, activists over the years, please understand, even with the so-called homosexual church in San Francisco, which we have clippings of some of their sermons and everything else, and you know, I had one individual writing me from there telling about how beautiful the music was and on and on and on. They're not theologically deep. There's no concept of really of Satan, spiritual warfare, being born of the Spirit of God and growing in the Lord and following Christ. You just cannot support, and we'll talk about that tomorrow night on the spiritual side of it, the concept of biblical spiritual revelation and legitimizing in any way homosexual agenda and lifestyle. Now, we can go to the verses tomorrow that speak against it. But I wanted to start tonight the discussion anyway on the fact that Americans have a right and Canadians have a right. I mean, we have a right all over the world to be able to stand up, the overwhelming majority, to say, you know what? We don't agree. Now listen, it's one thing if you choose to do sexual things in your apartment, in your house, or wherever you're at, whatever you're into. It is another thing for you to come out into the streets, have massive campaigns, become lobbyists and get into government and forcefully do all that you can behind the scene to change laws which will force the overwhelming majority into silence and into an unwilling acceptance of taking over the education for children, taking over economic funding, taking over, well, listen, pastors and listen, Christians, how far will this propensity of the gay and lesbian agenda go? Will it come down to the point, like in Canada, where you're not allowed to say in the pulpit out loud that that homosexuality is a sin, or over the air anyway, the radio waves. On television, on radio, are you not allowed to say that it's wrong? Are you not allowed to have a discussion like I am right here saying, let's look at the biological side. Barack Obama, two little beautiful children of his, what does he really believe about this? Or is he just pressured by a lobbying group to kind of cater? What are the soldiers going to do when changes take place? Now, changes, if it's the changes that the Gay and Lesbian Task Force or the agenda wants, we've got a problem. Listen, because I've worked on the streets and with individuals, we've done prayers and deliverance prayers. We'll get into some of these stories in the next couple of days in this area. Let me ask you something. If a man is a homosexual and he's sexually, physically attracted to another man, and again, I've watched this occur, and the same thing with lesbians looking at other women and sexually desiring them. Well, let's ask some questions. If a man is a homosexual that he's turned on by another man, should he have a right to go into a men's restroom where he can look upon other men or women in a women's restroom? Worse than that would be like the natatorium or the workout place, because where I used to go, you'd walk into the men's side where all the lockers were, and there's 10 naked men and men going over getting showers and men shaving and men putting on their clothes, some taking, you know, they're changing. It's a room where you change and take showers, and so there's naked men walking back and forth into the showers and back to their area where their locker is. And if you're a homosexual man and you're sexually attracted to men, how is that any different than an 18-year-old boy hopped up on his on his hormones that's sexually attracted to women, to girls, and allowing him to go into the girls' locker room and to be able to go in there and get naked or change or look at all the naked young girls and women? Of course there would be an outrage among the girls, and would women coming in there to watch and observe men if they're, attracted. Listen, we understand this issue. I mean, young boys, if they run into the, girls' locker room at school, are going to get in trouble. They're going to get in trouble for doing this, okay? Then the question is, if a man is sexually, physically attracted to another man, then how are we going to do this? Do we create a men's room, a woman's room, and then a lesbian ladies' room, and then a men's homosexual room? Four separate restrooms, four separate, changing rooms where you get naked. How's that going to fit? You see again how the problem of biology and the physiological side, the image of humanity. Again, sit back for a moment and think of the man and his physical and biological parts. Sit back for a moment and think about the woman and her physiological, parts. And when you look over this and think through this, you can see very clearly that that there is differences that complement each other. That again, in history and in contemporary society, the overwhelming majority of individuals is that a man is sexually attracted to a woman, a woman is attracted to a man, and that when they do get together and they do have they have the physical and biological ability to get together and as God created sex for both procreation and pleasure, folks. It's a lot of fun. Especially if you keep it in the circle that God created to be fun in. It's like being in a car and driving down the road and if you had the best car, the one that you wanted, and you're driving down the road and it's 65 miles per hour and you're on your side of the road, and as you're driving down the road, do you want someone that's coming the opposite way to veer over into your lane? We understand the simple fact. The simple fact of being able to be on the right side of the road, going down the road, so that everything can function. That's true in the area of human relationship. When God designed Adam, humanity, male and female, he created them, and he blessed them, and he blessed them to be brought together. And when Adam looked and said, woman, that was a Hebrew expression of joy and excitement. And of course, they had relations with each other. Yada is the Hebrew word that he knew his wife and they had a child. There's pleasure in it. No question about that. Now, there's this whole issue of exploitation. Listen, even in the group Nambula, the men that want to have sex with little 8-year-old boys, they say that it's all about love. They say that it's all about love and treating one another with love and pleasure. Well, let's be frank. If the truth be told, and there's people that I've counseled when it comes to sex with spirits, bestiality, necrophilia. Let me tell you something. Some of the exact same statements and arguments to legitimize their practices are coming off their lips. Now, gays and lesbians don't like that. They don't like the fact that men in the organization Nambula that want to by law legitimize, as in a few other crazy countries of the world, see that this kind of thing is okay. I mean, look at the current issue with Roman Polanski and a 40-year-old man or whatever he was giving both quaaludes and alcohol to a 13-year-old girl and doing what he did. Now, overwhelmingly, the majority are outraged. Are outraged. And, you know, anybody that would have a 13-year-old... If you had a 13-year-old daughter or a 13-year-old son and someone gave them quaaludes and alcohol, then sexually took advantage of them when they didn't want to, or even as if they were talked into it. If a 40-year-old, a 30-year-old, or 29-year-old person did that, wouldn't you be outraged? See, I'm a dad, and if I had a man do that to my 13-year-old daughter when she was 13, or try to, I can almost guarantee you that I would have the tendency to want to hunt this guy down and deal with him. But when it comes to the concept of a man, like I had to counsel a young teenage boy, okay? Teenage boy goes off to a club thing that he shouldn't have gone to. Kind of an underground rave. Hey, 40-year-old man, 45-year-old man, people there getting drunk, getting high, doing drugs, whatever else. You know, coaxes him in the back room. And he does forcefully have sex with the boy. Now, many homosexual and gay, you know, gays will say that was wrong. But you have no idea. The rest of the world has no idea how often that occurs. How often that really does occur. And how many gays and lesbians that have come into the counseling rooms that, you know, and churches and so forth over the years have told their story of what occurred to them. So I think that when we take a look into this, we need to be able to say, number one, we have a right to speak about the biological, you know, issue here. We have a right to be able to discuss the physiological side. And the number one reason why gays and lesbians won't like this is because it doesn't go well for their argument. Because it doesn't fit well with their agenda. You got to understand something about sexuality. And by the way, I have a course that we taught and used. It had 24 hours. Two of the links are broken. It's down to 22 hours of, I think it's 22 hours of subject matter. And along with books, materials, and other things that we've put there. And it involves everything from God creating sex and sexuality and even the spiritual, you know, incubus, succubus thing, homosexuality, sexual addictions, breaking free. It's called Sexual Decadence and the End of Man. And it's one of those courses that we had charged for, but we are right now saying, hey, if you want the course, just whatever donation you can give towards the course, because we got to stay on here somehow, we'll let you have that or something. Or write to me. If you don't have anything in money at all, we'll just give you the course. But it's about 22 hours altogether, and it will give a lot of a deep level content to the discussion even here. Because I think that if we are permitted in classrooms and among legislators and among the public to be able to talk about the biological side, the spiritual side, the genetic side, and the issue of propensity, that, well, it's going to make a lot of sense on the one hand. Those who want to live the lifestyle that are demanding to be legitimized, demanding for everybody to accept and acknowledge and hail them. And by the way, it's not equal treatment. It's special treatment that's being sought. And the issue then is, if we listen to the gay and lesbian, you know, agenda, and if they're going to say, hey, it's all right, we're allowed to do this, it's genetic, it's how God made us, on and on and on, like, and that's who we are, that we can't change anything. Well, the question is, for gays and lesbians, what about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because they're going to want to alter and change that too. What about the people, the thousands and thousands and thousands of homosexuals and lesbians that have said, we want out. We don't like this lifestyle. We don't want this lifestyle. We've been here 10 years, 20 years. We want out, and we choose to break out of it and leave it, become heterosexual, find a mate, and marry and have direct children. This is the biggest witness in America right now. Now, if you're ex-homosexual, ex-lesbian, if you've come to Christ and you believe that He's changed your heart and life and give you great, the empowerment to move on, and you realize and you declare and you witness and you testify that this is right and this is what you want and that you choose to move in this direction, you got to realize something. The homosexual agenda is trying to negate your choice. They're trying to say that it can't be done. And they don't want to allow the gospel to be preached in such a way that individuals can hear this. Come to Christ, find love, find healing, find salvation, and find the power of God to move on to a new life. That's the message we have. That God loves you beyond any human being. God can change the totality of your life. There's the power of the Creator and Redeemer in Christ. Forgiveness, love, change. Well, listen. You come to shatterthedarkness.net and see hundreds of other MP3s we have for free to download. This is Russ Dizdar. If you've never come to Christ, we urge you to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Let me know about it. Write to us at shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Hey, God bless you. We'll see you Tuesday evening at 7 p.m.